at least the construction in the Cascabel area by a court, by a case that has been filed by Tejon Autumn and the San Carlos tribe. And I respect their requests and their concerns. It just seems a little late in the game to say that during this 12-year consultation that they weren't consulted. And if the BLM did drop the ball, I'm all for reconsulting on that. But if there was an opportunity during consultation, then I would hope that they could move forward with that. They are doing everything from bringing helicopters in to minimize access roads. So that is, I'm not, let's tear up the landscape for progress, but this is a 12-year-old project which has, if we begin to lose these major infrastructure projects because of some concerns from one or two groups, then that is a concern. But all due respect to the tribe and to David Nosey, but that's just the way that I see that, and look forward to a resolution, a fair resolution for all parties.
Okay, thank you, Paul. Is there anyone else?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Policeman Clay. First of all, I want to echo what David just said. Paul David just said regarding the pullback on what we were anticipating were going to be some exciting projects as far as our highway is concerned. Highway 191 is in terrible shape, all through Clifton and up through Quincy, which has a tremendous amount of traffic due to the mine, and now we've been informed that's one of the projects that's going to be either eliminated or put on hold. So I think we need to advocate and let people know that rural areas do exist and we have needs, maybe not for another turnaround someplace or a turnabout or an overpass, but this is the only road going in and out of Clifton, and it's in horrible shape. Second thing, the town of Clifton in 2018 started, got involved in a program offered and supported by Segal called the All System Bridge Program, monitored and handled by ADOT. After 5 years, 6 years, and seeing a project that was estimated a 24-foot bridge, span bridge, that was supposed to initially cost about $700,000, for which the town was responsible for 5%, has now ballooned to over $2 million. And the town has now put in about $300,000. And we are being told that, that we either accept it or we lose all the investment. And I just wanted to caution all of the other entities that they look very carefully at those programs. Segal itself, we appreciate the fact that Segal last year provided the town $150,000 toward that project, which at the present time, we're not going to be able to move with it. I mean, it's just become ridiculous as far as the cost is concerned. And finally, the last thing I have to say, these are all transportation related. I don't know about the other communities, but the town of Clifton has now used its town crew resources, our people, clean the highway 191. Is it, I guess I have a question, is the Department of Transportation now completely off limits as far as cleaning our roadways from garbage and you know, debris that's thrown out by people. I know that they have a litter program. It's always been there. But we now extend beyond cleaning the highway on our in our streets or our town to go as far as 15 miles out the town trying to clean up the highway. And we're having a lot of citizens complain. So I just think that we've been really disappointed in the last few years with what we've been getting as far as the Department of Transportation is concerned. And I just wanted to kind of vent a little bit and let everybody know how we feel about it.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else? Okay, hearing none, we'll move into our next item of business, call to the public. I don't believe we have anyone on call to the public either, and no one on the screen. So we'll move into our next item of business, action items. Consent agenda, approval of the November 17th, 2023 minutes. Entertain for motion.
I move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion has been made and second. Is there any discussion on any of those items? Further discussion? Hearing none. Call the vote. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Ayes have it. Anyone opposed? Same sign. Ayes have it unanimously. Okay. Our next item of business, election of officers for the executive board. Keith, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, everyone. On page 7 of your packet, you made reference to Segoe's bylaws, and I offered a quote or two. I have a copy with me as it concerns how elections of officers are to take place for the Segoe Executive Board. Basically, it's a four-county rotation, and they move up each year so that then the Greenlee County, in this case, the Greenlee County officer would go to the bottom of the rotation as treasurer, and the other three positions would move up. That is the standard way that our rotation works. There's a little bit of a hiccup with that this time. Mr. Richard Ortega, who is now the mayor of Safford, has indicated that he's stepping down from the CEO Executive Board. They have indicated that they're going to nominate a councilman from the city of Safford to CEO's Executive Board. And so Mr. Ortega was set to become to become chair of the board for this year. That's not going to happen. So we need to elect a chair and also a Graham County officer needs to be appointed or approved by their own governing body, their own council, before they can be seated on our executive board. So, Mr. Ken Budge, the mayor of Bisbee, who's the second vice chair, currently the first vice chair is Bisbee Mayor Ken Budge. He would be moving up to chairman. I'm sorry. He's out sick this morning. He indicated he's not going to be able to join us. He said he would if it meant the difference between having a quorum and not having a quorum. So, because we did, I said, just rest easy. The Bisbee's had quite a week, and told him to get some rest, right? So, so on page 7, you can see the ideal rotation. We're not under ideal circumstances, and I'm going to bat it back to you, Mr. Chairman, for you guys to discuss and possibly make selections about who will chair the meetings going forward for the remainder of this year. But with one reminder, though, there's nothing, and the last paragraph there, there's nothing in our bylaws that says that the executive board can't just sweep the slate and start over. That's also an option.
Go ahead, Ann.
One concern, in reading all of this, it says that the that they have to have been on the board for a year. And I'm going, why did we put that in there? What purpose does that serve? Before they can be an officer, they had to have been on the board for a year.
The way the bylaws read is, in order to become chair, you have to have served on the executive board for a year. So under this, if they nominate the gentleman from Safford and he becomes an officer and he serves for a year, then that they can become chairman after that.
But then does Graham County lose their position as chair?
Right. you see the quandary, right?
Well, does Graham County not have other people on this board?
We do. There's Mr. Paul David is
on
the
call. Well, that's what I'm saying is, so we haven't talked about that. If they have other people that are serving on this board, they would be eligible, so we don't have to think about who's replacing Richard Ortega.
Yes, and that, you know, Mr. David is on the call, of course, today, and this for you. You guys can work that out if you like. Perhaps he's interested in serving as chairman. Of course, Mr. Supervisor David has been on SIGO's executive board far more than 1 year.
Of course, yes.
Paul, would you be interested in serving on the executive board?
Biting his lip, yeah.
You know, Supervisor English's vote of confidence is, I'm very flattered, but I'm currently serving as the RTAC, president of the RTAC organization, and between that and some of the other racks and things that I'm on, don't think that I would serve as well as you and would have the time as well as I would like to serve. And so I'm happy to continue to serve on the board, but I would defer or decline an executive position, but thank you for considering that.
Well, who else from Graham County is on the board for a possibility? I mean, if we need to appoint someone or discuss something, it can't be the probability of who's filling Richard Ortega's spot, because that's a done deal.
Right.
You can't do it.
Can we just flip chairman and vice chair?
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Go ahead.
There is a provision in our bylaws that the current chairman can serve one additional consecutive term. So that is also an option, provided Mr. Gomez is amenable to such.
I guess I'll take one for the team. Well, and then we'll hash this thing out during the time.
Yeah. Let me see.
So, Chairman,
now can
just
can
for clarification, the discussion is: will Graham County have a spot, not necessarily on the executive committee or in leadership, but does Graham County now have a spot to fill? That typically the city of Safford would then designate someone as a proposed someone for our approval. Is that the next order of business?
Yes.
They could be the next treasurer, and still you would be a part of the executive board at Graham County.
Okay, very good.
Mr. Chairman, I will say that our bylaws, you know, they have options, and I'll read them to you in a moment, but that rotation, your options are not going, per our bylaws, to be able to change the rotation order that's given here. So, if I may, I'll just read these. In instances where the first vice chair is subject to rotation to board chair, has not served at least 1 year, or in this case, is unable to serve, the board shall elect an eligible representative from among their membership. The board could elect from among these three options to fill the chair seat for that term. Option one, the board could elect to have the current chair hold office for no more than one additional term. Option two, the next lower officer in the rotation having at least 1 year of service in the executive board would be elevated to chair. That would be Mr. Ken Budge, because he's second vice chair. Option three, the board could elect a chair from among its membership, provided that they have served at least 1 year on the board. Such action will not impact the rotation order set forth in paragraph three above, and that is, it's given here in, on page seven of your staff memo, your staff packet. Graham, Cochise, Santa Cruz, and Greenlee. That's the order of rotation they go in. Mr. Budge is not here. I did, he was gracious enough to accept my pleading to have him serve one additional year on the board. I really regard Mr. Budge highly, but and I appreciate his guidance. But I wouldn't go so far as to speak for him to say, to put him in that position. However, it's not my call, it's the executive board's. I can get him on the phone, though. I told him I wouldn't, but.
Excuse me, is Mr. Gomez willing to serve, and is he eligible to serve as chair for this year?
According to the bylaws, yes, if I choose to.
Well, what does that do to the rotation?
I know, it freezes it.
Would you be willing to do that? Okay.
It just stops.
So the other folks that are coming up will remain in the positions that they're in to move up after I move to treasurer.
Which would mean, Mr. Chairman, hypothetically, that the new representative for the city of Safford, if they get put into that position, they would be an officer, and after a year of service, they would potentially be the chair.
Eligible.
Yeah.
The chair, yeah. I don't mind being the chair for another year, but I also don't want to. I'd like to have Ken Budge also decide whether he's willing to serve, step up, and move up from second vice chair. I don't want him to feel that he was left out and not given the choice to make the decision.
Shall I give him a call?
Give him a call.
Okay.
Oh, is that because Mr. Ortega right now is
right.
Chair? Right.
Yes.
Okay. And is anyone from Thatcher or Pima eligible within Grand County?
I don't know if Mr. Bryce is on the call or not, but he's a new member as well. Thank you, guys. Mr. Mayor, hey, I said I'd leave you alone. I apologize. The executive board has requested that I give you a call. Is it okay if I put you on speakerphone for just a moment or two? Thank you. Bad. Sorry, Ken. Here you are. Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Go ahead. Explain where we're at.
You may be aware of this, Ken, maybe not, but Richard Ortega is our first vice chair. He's now the mayor of Safford, and he's very ill, and has informed CIGO that he's no longer going to serve on their executive board, and they're going to the council is going to appoint someone else to serve that member entity. However, right now, Mr. Ortega is the first vice chair for CIGO's executive board. He's an officer, and he would be scheduled to take the position of chairman. However, because he's unable, we do have an option in our bylaws that would allow the second vice chair to become chairman instead for 1 year. And this is the purpose of the call. I got you on speakerphone here with the executive board, and did I get it? Sounds about right?
Right.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I know where it's going. Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
If you'd like me to, I'll jump on the link real quick if you want. It might be better than phone, but
You're good on the phone, Ken.
Yeah, we'll make this easy as possible on you. I did say I'd leave you alone. I'm sorry.
So, I mean, you know that I'm not running again next year. I've elected not to put my name in the hat. I have a lot of other personnel issues, some of which are medically inclined, and I decided that it would be better if I backed off and concentrated more on that than what I've been doing. So whatever the board would like to do to work out appointments going forward from that point, I'm entirely open to.
Mr. Chairman.
So do we fill the position now, or do we fill the position when he leaves? Because he's not going to be serving after December.
Mm-hmm. Right. Which would mean that he would no longer be in office as of our February 2025 meeting, and therefore we would have our chair position vacant at that time.
Right.
All right.
So what I'm hearing, Ken, that you'd be willing to serve as chair for the duration of this year?
So we're up for that right now, I guess. I could. We'll just have to. Is there an emergency method in order to bring on a new first and second vice chair after this?
Well, we've had the discussion, and the discussion also went to the current chair, which is myself, could take on another year based on the bylaws. And if I wanted Keith to give you a call, because I didn't want to eliminate you if you were interested. And
with everything that's going on in my life right now, within my city and other things, I would, and the other chairmanships that I hold with Upper San Pedro and these others, I would rather let you just go ahead, and I would not be adverse to that at all. I can fill in if something happens, but yeah, I have to be honest, that's where I am right now.
Okay, we respect your decision, and we'll move on. Thank you very much, and sorry for the bother.
No, sorry. Thanks for calling me, and best of luck. We'll work it out. We can talk later. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Rest up. Bisbee needs you.
He sounds terrible.
Yeah, it was.
Okay, I guess.
Chairman Gomez would like to make a motion then to nominate yourself, David Gomez, as chair, and as first vice chair, the new representative that would come out of Grand County. And second vice chair as Mr. Ken Budge, our mayor of Bisbee, and treasurer would fall to our Santa Cruz County officer, Mayor Maldonado.
Second.
Okay, motion has been made and second. Is there any further discussion? Aaron, go ahead, Keith.
One thing, thinking through a little bit, when the new member entity representative from the city of Safford is seated on our executive board, it may become an issue a year from now that individual has not served an entire year because they're not here now. So we may be back in this position a year from now, but you, sir, will be ineligible at that time to serve an additional year, so you'll be off the hook.
Okay. Well, I entertain, I call for a vote. All in favor of the motion, signify
aye.
By,
aye.
Say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Same sign? Ayes have it, so ordered. Okay. We'll move on. All right, our next item of business is discussion and possible action to recommend approval of the Cochise County private sector representatives on the executive board.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you know, our executive board structure, owing to the fact that SEGO is an economic development district, that means we're required to have private sector representatives, one per county. And in the case of Cochise County, who has a population of over 100,000, we have two. There's a quote from the bylaws here. I won't belabor it unless requested. instead, I'll just move down the page a little bit and indicate that Ms. Heather Floyd has indicated a willingness to continue serving. You all know Ms. Floyd. And also, our outgoing private sector representative who served two terms, Mr. Dan Valle, is here with us this morning, and he's got to go here pretty soon, I understand. He's here to recommend that a member entity representative nominate his successor, who is Mr. Mark Mermis, who's behind us here. He's with us today. His bio was attached. Member entity representatives are the ones that can actually make a nomination. Private sector representatives can recommend but not nominate. So that's why it sounds a little complicated there. That's the reason.
Mr. Chairman, it would give me a great honor to go ahead and recommend Ms. Heather Floyd for a second term as private sector representative from Cochise County, and to nominate Mr. Mark Maris to represent Cochise County as a private sector representative.
Second that motion, and I'd like to make a comment. I think anytime we have a current sitting member, such as Heather and Dan, their opinion of who they would like to see succeed them weighs heavy with me, that they wouldn't do it if they didn't think it was a good move. And I'll admit this gentleman was, he doesn't remember it, but I could certainly go along with.
Did he sell you a used car?
I'm not going there.
I was going to make the same comment.
So anyhow, I appreciate the nomination and the discussion on it, and I have certainly no problem.
Thank you, Bill. Okay, motion has been made and second. It's been
seconded.
You second. Okay. We'll take a vote. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Same sign. Ayes have it. So ordered.
Abstain. I nominated.
Okay. Thank you, Dan.
And thank you for your service, Dan.
Yeah, thank you for your service.
It's been a pleasure working with you all.
Yeah. And welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for sticking around. Okay. Have a great day, Dan.
I don't know that you can vote yet, but you can sit.
That's okay. I understand.
Officers take their term begins at the end of the meeting in which they were elected. So.
Okay. We'll move on into our next item of business, our information items. Future meeting dates. Keith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On page 11 of your packet, you can see our future meeting dates for Admin Council and Executive Board. No need to go into too much detail with those, but they are there for your packet. We're going to talk about future meeting agenda items later in the meeting, but I did want to let you know, since we're here right now, that on April 4th, we are going to be putting together a combined administrative and executive committee meeting, at least for the one item, the purpose of which is two? Okay.
Yeah, if I could real quick, these two items are critical to the next fiscal year. We're down one committee member on the executive, so it's going to be really important the other three members are at that meeting, because it's critical to things we are required in our contract that they not to have done by July 1.
And there'll be at least one other item on there, and I'll talk about that when we get to future agenda items. But just as a heads up, that April 4th, these are those administrative executive committee meetings. I apologize for folks that know this one already, but for those who don't, when we have time-sensitive items that we need to, that can't wait for the next quarterly meeting, we have these meetings of the officers of the executive board and administrative council. That's our combined administrative executive committee. If we have a quorum of that group, we can do business. We do this by conference call. We're trying to be respectful of people's time and keep it really short. So that's going to be coming up because, as Mr. Vertrees said, we have some items that do indeed meet that definition of time-sensitive and critical. So Back to you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. So, all right, we'll move into our next item, B, quarterly finance report. Dina, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On page 13 of your packet, you'll find the statement of revenues and expenditures for the quarter ending December 31st, 2023. Colby and Powell has completed the FY23 audit and there are no findings. We now have two consecutive years of no finding audits behind us for which will be considered a low risk auditee this year. So that's wonderful news. And they'll, Jim Usovich will be reporting on the audit in the May meeting. I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have regarding the statement of revenues and expenditures.
I don't have any questions, but great job.
Thank you.
Anybody have any questions?
Mr. Chairman, start the clock. I'll be really fast. I just have a comment. I just want to say Dina does a great job. She's worked at SIGA for 5 years. It's because of her efforts that we've gotten to where we are, and I just want to recognize. Thank you, Ms.
Thank
Dina.
You, Keith. I appreciate
Do we
that.
Still have someone hired outside to help with the finances?
I don't use them anymore.
Okay.
I had $10,000 in the budget to use them this year,
right.
But I only used $2,200.
Okay. Well,
so,
that's good news.
Yeah.
Okay. Item C, community development report. Keith.
Mr. Chairman, the top of page 14, you can see a typo. It says Judy Lynn, Community Development Program Manager. Judy Lynn had high hopes. She was formerly the county's emergency manager. We hired her on, had her working on housing stuff because we have kind of bases loaded capacity with regard to CDBG on hand right now. And then 5 weeks later, she got tapped by the governor's office to go work doing that kind of emergency services work for the governor's office. She wasn't looking, but it was the kind of thing she just couldn't say no to. Not everybody gets a call from the governor's office saying, come work for us every day. So, she did put together a couple of grants for us and get some points on the board, hopefully, with regard to our housing strategic objectives. But she's coming back for one more week, and then she's going to Phoenix to work for the governor. So with that, I'll move into this a little bit. We do have our regional account, CDBG, this year. Your staff are working with Robin Dumas and Mr. David Miller, who's cross-training on CDBG as well. This year, it's Bisbee, Duncan, Patagonia, and Thatcher. We haven't got the final numbers yet on what the funding is going to be, but we'll find out in the next couple of months. This is also a Colonia set-aside year, so we're working with some of our communities, and we'll have more to say about that as we go further into the year. You'll be seeing some emails from SIGO staff reminding you that April is Fair Housing Month. Recipients of Housing and Urban Development Funds, which would be CDBG, are required to affirm a commitment to fair housing and non-discrimination with regard to housing. That's an annual thing that comes up in April. As I had mentioned, we've got some housing strategic goals. One of the things that had me worried when it came to becoming executive director is we got some momentum in our housing efforts and we don't want to lose that. And I'm happy to report we do have some things to say about it. And right now we're about to publish our housing consultant RFP. Bisbee's owner occupied housing rehab pilot program is, I'm told, about to go, or is already out to bid. The town of Duncan has chosen to use their CDBG regional account for a similar program, just emergency minor home repair, kind of a $15,000 per homeowner if they qualify, kind of a fair. A lot of homes, smaller ones, you can put a new roof on a home for that, or do some other critical things to make those homes livable. And Bisbee and Cochise County, there was a state housing trust fund, NOFA, for affordable housing plans for communities that did not already have one. So Bisbee and Cochise County, we're told, are preparing to respond to that. That is due next week. Finally, credit to Ms. Judy Lynn. She put together a really well-done grant application for the United Way of Graham and Greenlee Counties to fund a housing feasibility study for Graham County. In our surveys last year, if you'll recall back in August, we're talking about all the counties have something. Cochise County is coming up with that. But Graham County, I'm tempted to say the need is the greatest there because of the pressures of the mine. They're talking about as many as 1,000 new employees for the Lone Star Mine over the next 10 years. Mr. Chairman, we got a question here.
Go ahead, David.
In a feasibility study done with Graham County, was Bilas or the eastern part of Paradigm included in that feasibility study?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Hi, Mr. Nosey. We have applied for a grant from the United Way of Graham and Greenlee Counties, and if we're awarded, there's going to be a housing feasibility study coming.
Oh, okay.
And
will Bilas and eastern part of Paradigm be included in that?
We really should do exactly that. It's part of Graham County, right?
I totally agree. You know, I've been in this meeting for about a little bit under a year, and the input from the reservation has been very minimal. And definitely from sitting here, I really need to see a little bit more emphasis and a lot more work done, let alone to be, especially the biased community, which is one of the cities that supply a lot of economic revenue to the Safford, Thatcher, and Pima area. So an opportunity like this, the tribe and the vice community cannot miss. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nosey. We have his contact information, right? Yeah, we'll be in touch about that, especially if we're awarded. We'll definitely keep you in the loop, okay?
Most definitely, and once that conversation starts evolving, I want to be our general manager and our economic developer involved, so you can get better insight and information from their points and standards, so we can see what's the potential here for our communities, and you guys can see kind of a outside in view from what's coming up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Shall I just keep going, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on to page 16 of your packet, Economic Development District 2024. I've had the opportunity to get some training and some guidance from the National Association of Development Organizations. Our economic development program is one that's had probably the most turnover at the program manager level in my 7 years of working for CEGO. I was speaking with the director of CAG the other day, Andrea Robles, who said the same thing. They've had a lot of turnover in that particular department. And she said, you know, I'm not even going to hire a program manager. I'm going to hire a planner, and I'm going to be in charge of it. Because one of her stakeholders was asking her, you know, some pointed questions about it. And I said, that's exactly what we're going to do. Just to keep things at a top strategic level. We're going to take this. So I'm going to tell you that next Wednesday, the 28th at 10 a.m., hopefully you got the Zoom invite. If not, I'm going to make sure. We're going to have a Zoom meeting to kind of re-kick off our Economic Advisory Council. That's our economic development working group that contributes to our comprehensive economic development strategy that is one of the main deliverables of our scope of work for the Economic Development Partnership Planning Program grant that funds our economic development district. It's an opportunity to, you know, reset sounds too drastic. We may not need to reset. It may be fine as it is. There may be some changes to be made. But we just wanted to take an opportunity to reconvene that group, hear what they're working on. I see some potential duplication of efforts with our economic development district, with some of the other groups that are in the area. We want to look at the overall picture. We want to find the gaps, and we want to find the places where SEGO and our staff can be the most effective. And if people are, if groups and people are doing things that are successful, if we can support them, great. If not, get out of the way, because they're doing a good thing, and we can just move to where our efforts may be, you know, maybe there's a gap to be filled here and there, right? We've kind of taken more of a focus on programmatic activities. You'll be seeing our brownfield and our rural energy for assistance program coming online. But I put some text on here on page 16 about what how Economic Development Authority defines an economic development district. I'm not going to get into too much more. I've probably spoken enough about all of this. We do have a small Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy, or SEDS, update that is due in April. And next year, we're going to be due for our five-year rewrite, where we do a major overhaul. So we're going to have a chance, and we're going to really take the opportunity to listen to our stakeholders and what they have to say and what their guidance is on this, so that when we get that new SEDS in a year, we're really hitting the target and giving ourselves the right direction to be effective.
So does that mean that after you have this collaborative meeting, you know, this meeting, then maybe you could report back to us at the next SEGO meeting how we need to participate and move forward?
Yes, ma'am.
It's elusive, you know, this economic development. You know, it's kind of like a jellyfish. You can't grab it, you know.
You know, Ms. English, in the CDBG world that I come from, you used to be able to do economic development activities with CDBG funds, and they stopped because they said it was like a jellyfish. And how do you prove that it's really benefiting? And
right.
How do you track that? How many jobs created an economic impact over a period of how many years? It is elusive.
It's a numbers game. So we'll hear where we need to move forward on that.
Yes, ma'am.
And you'll have someone hired by that time.
Yes.
Hopefully.
Yes. Just a little update on that. Robin Dumas, who's she worked CDBG the first year, and she's moved into an economic development role now. Again, just like CAG, it's like I'm going to have a planner, but I'm going to, you know, just be at the strategic level. So it is staffed, and she'll be there at the SEDS meeting next week. There's some other things on page 17, but I could go into them if the board would like. But just some brief updates. The Affordable Connectivity Program has been defunded. There's some agitation to try to bring it back. But, yeah. Broadband is something that, Ms. Floyd, I would really like to talk with you about in the future, if we can. There are these ReConnect USDA-funded broadband projects that are coming online, or it's like one round after another of funding, you know, for people to participate in those. And we're kind of, you know, there's been some transition at the SEGO level, at the leadership level. I don't want to drop that ball, but I feel like I should reach out to you and just see where we can be supportive.
ReConnect 5 just published their NOFO on Wednesday. We're reviewing it and looking at it. Looks like it's changed a little from ReConnect 4, where they lowered what the threshold of served is, which means that it will only fund the really most remote people instead of the people in the middle, which is where we need some of that funding. BEAD will probably, the Arizona BEAD funding will be, challenge process opens in March, and the projects will probably be announced mid-year, like what the project areas are. Once those are announced, we can look at those and encourage internet providers to bid on those. And I would imagine counties are probably already working with providers to say, are you going to bid on our areas?
Yeah.
But So Reconnect 5 is out now. I think it's due April something. B would be the next step, mid-year. And I've seen Ms. Dumas has been on weekly calls getting up to speed on broadband pretty quickly. So she's got the right sources to get that knowledge.
It's good to hear. Thank you for that. That's all, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Next item, AAA updates. Carry.
Mr. Chairman, we have Shauna Riffle with us today. Ms. Celeste Vasquez, I wish she could be here. She's our new AAA program manager. She is in Phoenix meeting with, I can't remember now. It was something really important. She had to be away, and Carrie is also ill today. So thank you, Shauna, for joining us and delivering on behalf of...
I'll do my best. I was given notice yesterday that I needed to be here today, so I apologize if I'm not as prepared. So as far as our administration, it does indicate in here that we have no vacant positions at the AAA. However, as of now, we do have two vacancies, one in Sierra Vista for case management and the other in Benson. We're actively commenced in the interview process to identify qualified candidates who'll be instrumental in advancing our mission and contributing to the excellence of our team. The reason for we lost our Benson case manager, we have also merged our family caregiver support program and our case management program, which is now being overseen by myself. I was served as the case manager for Sierra Vista for the last 14 years. I'm stepping down in that role. I'm a little bit emotional about it, but it's all about growth. So I was with the merger, going in-house to the program. I came from Cochise County to the CIGO. In lieu of that, we also had a case manager, Shirley Thomas, who was with Cochise County, come back to us, and she'll be handling the Bisbee-Naco area. And then, of course, we have our new director, Ms. Celeste Vasquez. In the merger of the case manager program, following the retirement of Ms. Karen Enriquez, we had the opportunity to reevaluate our programs to ensure that we're optimizing resources and providing the best possible support to our community. So we made the decision to merge that, and it allows us to streamline our service and improve efficiency and provide more comprehensive support to those we serve. So with those programs under one umbrella, we'll be able to better coordinate our resource and services. For our case management, we reduced services for our clients. We informed them that the utilization of additional funds were issued during COVID had been exhausted, our ARPA funding. So our case manager had to reevaluate our client services, making reductions to authorized service hours and closing services for those who no longer qualified for our services. So by prioritizing those in the greatest needs, we completed the process by the end of November of last year. We closed 106 people who no longer qualified for our AAA services or were no longer eligible for the resource, and we identified other resources to transition them. We went from 461 clients who are enrolled in attendant care to 355 who are currently enrolled. It also changed our utilization from 4,521 units to 2,507, so that went from 113,000 to roughly 62,000 a month. The next steps are for us to take our current available funding and work towards moving clients off our wait list into active services. I don't know much about the funding, but that's all Carrie and Ms. Celeste, so if you have any questions about that, you will need to direct those questions to them. But our main goal is to help seniors stay in their home for as long as possible in their home and community setting. We received $240,000 to assist people age 60 and over and the disabled with home repair, rental assistance. Our SB 1720 housing funding allows us to help seniors stay in their homes as long as possible. We received that funding to assist them Their home repair, rental assistance, mortgage assistance, utility assistance, move-out costs, and more. We established MOUs with multiple community partners to include CECAS, Direct Center for Independent Living, Step Up, BISV, NACO. And so with the guidance of DOS, CIGO, Area Agency on Aging, wrote policies and procedures for the program, with our central intake team being the point of contact for that, for these services, assisting with the eligibility screening process. Our next step is educating the community partners on the process and reporting billing. Our health and nutrition program, our coordinator, Ms. Julie Creswell, who's fairly new with us, met with many partners and is working on meeting with partners with AAA. She has three new volunteers lined up and is currently in the process of getting them set up. This has increased 75% of current volunteers for this program, and it's extremely difficult to get volunteers for any of our programs. She has currently has one matter of balance class in progress, with two more in the near future, one for Tai Chi for arthritis, that is in the progress, and plans for more Tai Chi classes ongoing. And she's also obtaining her certificates that are required for the position. And under our family care support program, we currently have 80 caregivers, 905 content views, and 134 trainings completed in November. We also provide an evidence-based platform called Turalta, for professional development case management staff by facilitating Turalta trainings and Turalta best practices. So it's a platform for caregivers to go on if they're new caregivers that come on and they have absolutely no idea what to do, they can go on this platform. There are videos, printable information on any disease or any issues. And it also has a lot of caregiver training modules. Karen also implemented the Circle of Care. It's a partnership with AZ Chow Community Health Workers in Douglas. Karen launched that in December by linking virtual and in-person to two places, one in Douglas and one here in Sierra Vista at the library. We connect for 30 minutes with a training, and then everyone breaks off into their own sessions. I've been able to do one so far, and it was absolutely wonderful. We had a great turnout. We're also involved with serving our seniors. It's a part of a planning group of community partners in Sunsite Pierce to provide monthly senior community education. A 2024 education and resource from all organizations that offer services is in this primarily underserved community. So I did a training out there last week, and we had a pretty good turnout. I'm hoping to grow in that area. That's a very underserved area, along with Benson as well. Volunteer training and appreciation event hosted by CIGO program coordinators to recognize our valued volunteers and provide annual training. Right now, currently for the Family Caregiver Program, I have three active volunteers. And for our SHIP, State Health Insurance, and Senior Medicare Patrol, the collaboration between partners such as Central Intake has helped increase beneficiary contact in 2023 by 60% in October through December versus 2022. The number of SHIP volunteers has grown from 3 to 5 active volunteers, which is actually really good. Media and current partnerships such as CECAS, Chamber of Commerce, have been utilized to promote SHIP services in that community. And their goal is to increase awareness and education in our communities on ways to prevent future penalties. And they've utilized such partners such as newsletters, constant contact, Facebook, one-on-one counseling sessions, and SMP educates awareness of fraud and scams by empowering Medicare beneficiaries to protect themselves. SHIP and long-term care and Bozeman coordinator continue to promote our CEAT, which is the Southeastern Arizona Elder Abuse Task Force. And CEAT continues to the efforts to expand through Region 6 by utilizing current partnerships and outreach. Our long-term Bozeman program and volunteers continue to see skilled nursing facilities and assisted living in Region 6. The Ombudsman Coordinator continues to recruit volunteers in Spanish-speaking areas. The new Spanish-speaking volunteer started January 23rd. They attend Toastmasters to strengthen their abilities as public speakers, with goals of presenting in the near future in the U.S. Aging Conference, which is in July, and I believe that's in Tampa, Florida, for our national. The CE... They're going there for the CE program. We've worked with to have a trifold made, and the trifold, we realized that it could not hold the amount of information we'd like. CE partners decided to make a booklet to be able to hold all the resources they'd like the community to have. Case management program, again, has joined forces with the Family Caregiver Support Program. And the integration of case management in Cochise and Santa Cruz has enabled us to expand resources, raise awareness, and better educate our communities on the Older Americans Act. We're also celebrating the Older Americans Month. We have a lot of events planned. We're working a lot with Benson right now. They've been really great to us. The case managers are receiving more comprehensive training from AAA coordinators during monthly meetings. I hold two of them a month. I'm also doing an annual training for our case managers in April. Our central intake unit screens and identifies gaps in services by referring clients to appropriate programs and resources, and then they trickle down to the case manager for that area. Before the central intake was established, the process was more convoluted and less adhered to by relevant entities. The expansion of AAA's central intake position to full-time has been successful. We have two part-time special intakes, Ramona and Yolanda, who are absolutely wonderful. They've been trained to provide callers with information on local, state, and federal resources. They keep saying they have 98% of knowledge of the resources in the area, and they continue to look for more. They're well-versed in educating callers on volunteer opportunities and how to access additional resources, such as the AAA app, webpage, and Facebook. And they now have a turnover about 24 to 48 hours before they're able to get back to them. We have had a very high influx of calls this month, especially to my Sierra Vista office. And they continue to prioritize those in the higher need for attended care and home-delivered meals based on a scoring method obtained from central intake. And that means that those in the higher demand will receive services faster to prolong their health and well-being. And that's about all I have.
You said you combined those services in Cochise County and Santa Cruz. What about Graham and Greenlee?
Yes, all four counties. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you. A lot of info.
Yes.
A lot of work. Okay, we're moving to our next item.
Chairman, Paul David.
Yes, Paul.
I have a question, if it's okay to ask it at this time.
Yes.
Thank you. Thanks for your efforts and great report. Can you give us a sense of, or a trend, a sense of direction of how things are going with the seniors? I know that funding and inflation is are both, there's a lot of uncertainty. Do you have a sense of are things getting better, or are they going to become even more challenged?
In my experience, it's become a lot more challenging, especially with our current wait list. We are trying to identify ways. We've been working really hard with the public to get them on long-term care. There's been an influx of people who have food insecurity. So our congregate sites are extremely important for that. But the trend I've seen is it's getting a little bit worse. It's starting to, we're getting more phone calls for help, and we're not able to really do anything at this time. We need more funding.
Okay, and then as you refer people to long-term care, are we talking about nursing home, becoming housed in nursing homes, and that kind of long-term care?
If it calls for that, but the idea for long-term care is to keep them at home and out of the facility. Yeah, our case managers, we even open up just case management only to help our community members through the process, so we can act as representatives to get them on that. And some would prefer to stay at home, but there are those who need to be in a facility as of yesterday. So it's a case by case.
Okay, thanks. Because, you know, I've always advocated for and seen great value in your program, because the cost of counties, we share the cost with the state of Arizona long-term care system.
Yes.
And that is, those costs are of course going up, and we see our contribution increasing with our aging population. So
absolutely,
the services of caring for people in their homes saves the counties hundreds of thousands of dollars or more. And, you know, thanks to your efforts. And so I wish I knew what I could do more to help, and what counties can do more to help. But please, contact me for Graham County problems. I'd sure like to see that. And then to Councilman Nosey's earlier question about housing, are your services, are they basically jurisdictionally, are you unable to operate or participate or contribute to the concerns on the reservation?
I'm not familiar with that.
Area agency
on a different point.
Oh,
maybe it does apply.
You know, I don't have the answer to that, to be honest with you. That's something I would have to defer to either Carrie or Celeste for.
Okay, very good. Let's just ask.
Yes.
Thank you again. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Paul. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for such a detailed report.
Thank you.
Okay. Our next item of business, transportation program updates. Chris.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Montoya, just to let you know, I'll be reaching out to the Southeast District to let them know your concerns on sanitation. So we'll address that and see if we can get any movement on that. A few things on my report. It starts on page 28. First thing is the road pavement assessment project. That's where we drive the roads. We use a camera in the front of the window. We collect the road data, and then we send it off to a consultant, to a contractor, to analyze that data and put it up on our portal. That is a really strong tool that our TAC really utilizes. And what's resulted from that, our contract expires April 1st. The TAC has voted to extend that for an additional year, and I'll be bringing that at our April 4th meeting, that contract extension for approval and that TIP amendment. So that's going on there. The RTAC project discussion I'll leave for Kevin Adam. He has much more detail in that. The fixed route public transit in Graham County. The feasibility study is done. We've been working closely with the San Carlos Apache tribe. They come into Sanford three times a day and just park at Walmart waiting for the people they transported into town to utilize services, and then they leave. Well, to take advantage of that dead time, we have designed a plan that will use three loops a day with the San Carlos tribe circulating in a fixed route through Graham County, especially Safford and the Thatcher area and some unincorporated areas of Graham County. That project, the plan is completed. It's been presented to San Carlos Transit, and now it's moving to the application phase, and then we'll have a one-year ramp-up period like we did Wilcox, and then actually, if the application is approved, start service October 1st at 26 or 25. The Nogales Transit Feasibility Study has been kicked off. We're collecting data right now, historic data, and we will have the first meeting, stakeholder meeting, that group on March 12th. The Joint Regional Highway Safety Plan is underway. We just had a series of public meetings 2 weeks ago throughout each and every county, the SCMP MPO area, and both the Southeast and the Central South Central District of ADOT to go over the data that's analyzed. That plan, we did one in, if completed one in 16, was approved by you guys in 18, but that data is obsolete. It's, you know, that five-year window is over. We're climbing into a new five-year window. That's the focus. During those stakeholder meetings, we were able to identify a few projects that I think we're going to be able to squeeze into the application cycle this May, and we're hoping to have the plan completed by next October with a presentation to you guys in November for final approval. So I'm glad to answer any questions on transportation.
Anybody have any questions?
Just a comment.
Go ahead, Luis.
I just wanted to thank you, Chris, for following up a little bit on our concerns, and also wanted to let everybody know that actually Chris is really the person that last year, when we had been pressed for some additional funding for that project that I previously discussed, he helped out Clifton with a $150,000 grant that we hope we can recoup and return. But thank you, Chris, for what you do for us.
Thank you, Mr. Montero.
Go ahead, David.
Yes, on the project on San Carlos for Apache Tribe, what does that entail? What area was that covered for?
We had one on Peridot Road. That is an RTAC project list that's pending legislative approval in the budget this year. Really, I think that Kevin is more in tune with what's happening at the state level, so he can give you some more answers to it. But right now, it's in the budget cycle at the state.
Okay, I think I kind of placed it on Transportation Committee on Tribe, and I think I caught tail end of a discussion where we're sitting Mr. David from Graham County. I guess he sits on the Transportation Committee for the state. So we are sending all our documentations, and he's in support of this. And he was talking about this might be earlier than next year if everything runs smoothly. Is that kind of what you would see too, or October 1st is probably the date we'll initially hit?
Right now, the budget is in such a state, and Paul, as the RTAC chair, probably can answer it a little better. I don't know if we're going to see any of those projects approved this year. There was a $1 billion deficit as of the first of the year. I don't know where they're standing right now, but it does not look good for those projects. I hate to be a deliverer of bad news, but I want to give you the honest opinion of where those are going.
Honestly, it works, right? So I agree with you. I don't think it's going to be. I just wonder from your end if there's going to be, if you see any light at the end of the tunnel, but it seems like our paths are the same as yours, too. So thank you.
Yeah, we will stay on course and we'll keep pushing them, but I just don't know. Where the legislature is going to go with these right now.
Chairman, Paul David, Councilman Dulcey, I serve on this RTAC, Rural Transportation Advocacy Council, is a collection of the MPOs, development planning, and the government, councils of government. This is a subset of Orsego is a member, so I serve on that. But Jenny Howard, who is the vice mayor of Thatcher. She is a new board member and has been a strong advocate, and she is also the wife of one of the other Grant County supervisors, and so we do have her ear. I don't have her ear on like my husband does, but we have her ear, and the David Cook is also who's out of Yuma County. He is also a very strong supporter, and in fact, he sponsored the transportation bill. So when everything is said and done, in previous years they didn't pass the bill, but they did take the projects from the what we proposed, and on a case-by-case basis, as funding is available, then those legislators will pick and choose the winners and losers. They'll have a lot less money this year than previous years, but Kevin can give you an update on that. And so there's two issues. One is to keep the projects we've already got approved from being delayed or postponed for a long time, and the other is a new raft of projects. Paradox Siding Road continues to be a Siegel priority, and has made Siegel's priority list, and it was also on last year's, and they hadn't been on the year before. So that's the update for those tribal projects.
Thank you, sir, and I appreciate those comments. You know, it's really going to help us a little bit, because we are going to, myself and a few of the transportation committees are going out to D.C., and we have some meetings with the transportation committee, and I believe the chairman. So information like this is going to be very valuable once we get in the room with him, so we can get that all this stuff situated, especially for in this area. Thank you.
And if you'd like me to, I can send you some documentation, the councilman, on that project and on the bill to have a hard copy so you can have more information to talk about.
I would gladly appreciate that, and especially if it comes from a different organization, from Siegel's standpoint and the tribe's standpoint, and it'll bring kind of, I guess, the analogy of more ammo for the projects, and I think that'd be a good insight, and it shows that government-to-government relations here in this part of Arizona is good, and I'm pretty sure that Chairman Buttigieg would be very appreciative of that.
I'll take care of that today. I'll get that by late this afternoon for
you. Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Thank you. I just wanted to add on, because I don't believe Kevin is on, right? He's not.
No,
he would be on the screen if he was going to give us an update. Okay. Just to add on to what Paul David said, because I also serve on the RTEC board, and the last update, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, because it was a couple weeks ago, that bill that all the projects are currently listed on this year passed the House Committee for Transportation 9-1. And it's anticipated it will go through, like Paul said, it will make it to the end. And then that's when they're going to whittle down that list. And you just have to hope that your project gets chosen among all of them. So, but that it so far, it looks like it's going through. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you, Supervisor David and Carol over here, for the short version of the RTEC report, because Kevin is not with us today.
Can we thank get you. Her each month, each meeting?
Yeah. Okay, so we'll move to our next item of business, which is the RTEC report, and Kevin's not with us, so we'll move to staff announcements.
We're blessed.
Pardon?
I think we're blessed.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll move to staff announcements and current events.
Mr. Chairman, I'll defer to my staff first. I got a couple, but I want to open it up to anybody else that's either on the call or here in the room. Anybody from SIGO team got anything? Okay, well, I got a couple here. In 2014, SIGO adopted an austerity plan in the event of a government shutdown. So there's some talk about that something like that may happen in the next few weeks at the congressional level. May or may not. There's a lot of brinksmanship that happens, and you know, thankfully the games of chicken are more common than actual wrecks. But I just wanted to reassure you guys that if in the event that something like that happens, we do have kind of a backup generator plan for how to approach staffing and expenditures and fund balance and things if such becomes necessary. And I'm happy to share that with any of our members if they desire. I did mention Economic Advisory Council next week on the 28th. I'm really happy to announce that on March 28th at Cochise College Benson, CEGO is partnering with the Arizona League of Cities and Towns to host open meeting law training. It's going to be in our same location generally as where our administrative council meets. I've had that training twice, but it's been over 10 years since the last time me and Mr. David Miller are due to receive such. But you know, in terms of our mission and our vision and our goals of being a valuable service to our member entities, we immediately, you know, we got to open it up to all our member entities. So if you yourselves could use a refresher, if you have other colleagues or members of your staff that you feel could use it, or if you just need a refresher like yours truly, that is going to be from 10 to noon on March 28th. An invite did go out. Mr. Miller had sent that last week, if you didn't, or earlier this week. So if you didn't get that, please reach out to us. It is free. We want to get a head count, though, to make sure that the space that we've reserved is going to be sufficient for the training.
Can you repeat that date again?
March 28th.
Okay.
I believe that is a Thursday from 10 to noon.
And that's at the college?
Yes, sir, in Benson, the Cochise College in Benson. I also wanted to say that in an earlier meeting, we had somebody talking about a community land trust and the Elkwin Ranch and everything that they found another avenue to pursue their goals there. So that was scheduled to come back before you guys, and it's, you know, just leave it behind there. Finally, we have over on the table our new policy principles statement, the little trifold brochure that kind of lays out CEGO's positions on a number of policies across different programs. That's there if you guys want to pick up a copy or two, if you're out in your travels doing your business and there's an opportunity where one or more of those policies might be helpful. That document belongs to you guys. And then also, there are a number of little coat pins. I got these for our executive board. It's a little CEGO coat pin, right? So if anybody would like one, I've wanted one of these for a long time, personally. But again, not enough. We want to also offer it to our member entities. So if you're out doing business on things that concern the region that you in part represent by serving on CEGO's executive board, feel free to have one of those and put it on. And that, Mr. Chairman, is all.
Okay, anybody else? Anybody else on the staff? Okay, then we'll move into our next item of business, future agenda items. Anybody want to put something on the agenda for the next meeting? Anybody?
I just asked that we had a report, and he agreed to that, so I don't know if it needs to be agendaed or just part of your report.
Oh, yeah, the economic development. Got a couple. We're going to have our auditor presentation. Of course, we're going to be working through our budget at the next meeting in May. We're going to provide you guys with some strategic plan updates of where we're at. I know the plan's only about 6 months old, not even, but it's important to check in on those goals. So we'll be providing that with you on the next round. We may have Area Council on Aging nominations. I see that has happened previously in May meetings. Carrie and Celeste are not with us, so I'm not totally aware of that, but that may be coming up. And then, of course, April 4th Administrative Executive Committee, we talked about that. We have an intergovernmental agreement with Santa Cruz County coming up. We may, and I'm asking for guidance if anybody has any preference here, we may put that on our Administrative Executive Committee meeting, or we may want to wait till the May meeting. And what that is our case managers in Santa Cruz County are utilizing office space in the public fiduciary in Santa Cruz County. And it was thought best that there be an agreement for that usage that the county and CEGO both agreed to. That was going to be on the agenda here, but it turned out the legal advice that we thought was in the bag was not. So it's okay to slow down a little bit. That agreement wouldn't take effect till the beginning of the new fiscal year anyway, so we do have some time. That pavement assessment thing Mr. Vertrees had mentioned, what was the other one, Chris?
We have our 25 TIP that needs to be approved. It has a 45-day public comment period, so it has to be approved April 4th so we can go to public comment.
And then finally, thank you, Chris, and then finally, we've been approached about helping with Davis-Bacon monitoring for a federally funded grant to remodel the school in Elgin in Santa Cruz County. It's really gratifying to be recommended by the Santa Cruz County people. You know, we do that for CDBG, but we also do that for WIFA projects in our region. And maybe we're going to expand into helping out with a school that needs some compliance work. So that is going to be a technical assistance contract between CEGO and Santa Cruz County to provide that service. That one has got kind of a tight time frame on it. They've got to be done in the next, 5 months with their construction. So that one might go on that Administrative Executive Committee just because, again, it's time sensitive. That's all I have, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else?
Mr. Chairman, Paul David, could I suggest, it's subject to the board's approval and the comment, can I suggest, though, that we get an update in at our next meeting and have Gil Griffin, who's the part of the LD19 and who is really the point of the spear on the rural water issues as far as management areas and involving legislation. I don't know if the legislature will be out of session by then, but if we could get a kind of an update, because there's been an awful lot of, and there continues to be an awful lot of moving parts and changes and modifications, and wondered if the board would be willing to, if she would be willing to give us a 10 or 15 minute summary or update at our next meeting. That would help. I think that would help get me up to speed, and I know a lot of other people are wondering what's happening.
Great idea, Dave. Paul.
But if anyone's opposed to it, then I'm okay to just reveal, just because I do from time to time. But if that's not appropriate for the board, then has nothing to do with education or tribal. This is strictly rural Arizona, the state versus the county legislation and utilizing the aquifers that are in non tribal areas.
I think water is an issue for all of us. So
all of us, yeah.
If she has something to offer.
There's a lot of bills going out right now on that, so.
Mr. Chairman, on that point, Mr. David, since you had indicated that you're in somewhat regular contact with Ms. Griffin, would you be amenable to putting us in touch so that we can make those arrangements if she's amenable to appearing at our next executive board meeting?
Yeah, and of course, that subject, if they're in session, she could be in the middle of
our meetings. Are on Fridays. They don't meet on Fridays.
They don't meet on Fridays? Okay.
So okay, well, thank you.
You could even put us in touch, and I can take it from there. I'm not trying to give you a lot of homework, Mr. I know you're busy, but.
I'm pleased to do that. Or if Ann, I don't know if your relationship, Supervisor English, as a colleague, if that's something that you need to know.
She agreed.
Okay.
Thank you.
We're good?
I'll reach out and talk to him.
All right. Shall we take a 5-minute break before we go into our next item? That way folks need to get something to drink or go to the restroom or before we go into our next item, executive session.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, the members of the board that are on the call right now, we had set up a second Zoom for executive session. It's no longer necessary to get off and get onto another Zoom. We're all here. There's no members of the public that are or staff that are on the call, so feel free to just hang tight and disregard the other Zoom link in this case because it's not needed.
We're going to take a 5-minute break.
My lips are sticking to my teeth. That was terrible.